Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Welcome to today's edition of the Social Network Show. This is your host, Jane Karwoski, an experimental psychologist, along with Jim Nico, CEO of Social Network Intermedia. Have you ever had a great idea but never knew what to do with it? Maybe you want to invest in a worthwhile cause, but can't seem to find the right one. Ever wanted to find a group of like-minded folks wanting to make something special happen? Danny Kelman is here to shed some light on this for you and with his fresh, new, improved approach to crowdfunding. Danny is CEO of CrowdBorders.com, the world's first social investing network. Every startup, whether for profit or nonprofit, needs money, and it seems like a great idea to utilize the crowd. But where does this crowd come from? Danny Kelman of CrowdBorders.com is here to help you answer these questions. Danny, welcome to the Social Network Show.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Welcome, Danny. Thanks again for coming on, and we're excited to hear what you have to say.
Oh, no, really glad you guys have had me. Thanks a lot.
We're very curious to start at the beginning here with the traditional crowdfunding. How do you define crowdfunding in layman's terms? We want to talk about recent laws that may have helped it or changed it. So Let's talk about, you know, what it started out as and is developing into.
Well, I think crowdfunding has essentially been around for thousands of years. You know, cities were pretty much built upon people getting together and sharing resources and building things. Mm-hmm. And then lately, obviously, with social networks and with the internet, people have gone, oh, you know, as if we take this idea and we put it online and we raise money that way. It's just pretty much the same concept, just being heightened by the internet. So that's where crowdfunding's at the moment. And last year, a lot of laws were raised, which have pretty much been very stern since the 1930s. Because obviously people didn't have access to information then. So during that time, as people would go out and, you know, snake oil salesmen and sell, you know, not very nice investments to people because they weren't educated. Where now the government's pretty much said that people are far more educated. They can do their own research on things. They have access to information. Experts can, you know, look at this information and freely comment. Is they've loosened up those laws saying that now people can actively promote investments online. Whether, you know, equity or for reward or loan-based. So really, it's a really exciting time for anybody, you know, any startups, you know, that have had trouble with funding. Obviously, there's been quite a bit of trouble with the banks all over the world lately that people are having difficulty getting small business loans and things like that. So it's really exciting. It's really empowering people now to go out there and follow their dreams, really.
Now, just to back up a bit, because I wasn't that familiar with what the situation was before. So you mean that before new laws, there were prohibitions against proposing investments?
Yeah. It's pretty much the original laws when they were written in 1930 for stock markets and things like that. Those were the initial laws. But upon review, is the government's like, well, it's a completely different world we're living in nowadays. So they've updated them.
So the laws then from the 1930s were basically what? What did they say?
They said it was legal to actively promote an investment, so outside of accredited investors. So people normally had to be millionaires, essentially, to be able to invest in startup companies. So it was kind of keeping the rich richer and the poor poorer. And now they've loosened that up. Is the laws were actually only fully finalized about 5 months ago. So it's brand new. And they've said now that unaccredited investors, people under net worth of $1 million, can help startups and buy shares in them. So that's been the big change in the, which is only really one part of the crowdfunding industry, but it's a major part for, in particularly startup companies.
Oh, okay. So, and those are United States laws we're talking about, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, then that has been a big change. How does your company, Crowd Borders, have a different take on crowdfunding as compared to what it has been for the last little while, if it's only been 5 months? Although there's been crowdfunding before that, hasn't there?
Yes, yeah. It's been around for about 7-8 years now with a generic crowdfunding platform where you go there and you list an idea and raise money. Those have been around mainly for like artistic projects and things like that.
Oh, okay. And what is new about crowdborders.com?
Well, essentially, is CrowdBorders is built for everybody. Anybody that wants to make a difference, no matter how large or small or how grand, whether they want to be starting a company or whether they want to be getting involved and helping donate to a cause, is whatever the purpose, they can find it on CrowdBorders. Because we really, when we got into this industry, we did a generic, you know, platform, and we were like, there can be so much more to this, and there could be such a more, you know, a larger side on the network. So as we started building out, and it's taken us about 2 years now to build out what we call a social investing network. So people can go on there, they can get involved in causes, they can stay connected to people, and they can really see these things come to life. And then the next things or projects that the entrepreneurs are doing, they can make another crowd board for. And it really just allows a whole new realm of connectivity that currently doesn't exist in a lot of the websites at the moment. As you go into a website, you're donating money, and then it's like, okay, thank you, goodbye. You know, there isn't really a place for people to learn. There isn't a place for people to, you know, chat and to maybe even be inspired for an idea.
Mm-hmm. The use of the word board, it sounds like it harkens back to earlier days on the internet. I mean, we're used to hearing social network site these days.
Essentially, is we've looked at all these different raises online, and we've gone, the industry needs its own iPhone. It needs its own identity. Is people don't know what to call it. Is it a campaign? Is it a raise? Is it a fundraiser? Is it this? And we went, whatever you're doing to raise money online, you can have your own crowd board.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a crowd board to raise money for a business. You could have a crowd board to raise money for a cause. Whatever it is, it's always going to be a crowd board. So that way people, when they're explaining it to other people, is they can say, oh, come check out my crowd board, as opposed to come have a look at this on this site, on this link. And it just makes it a lot easier for people to associate with it, and also to actually give the industry some sort of brand, and particularly crowd boarders, the people that want to make a difference are used to getting involved with these crowd boards. And it's really almost a different way of socially connecting. As we look now, and you have your Facebooks and your Twitters and your Instagrams, and everybody's sharing pictures and everybody's you know, liking things, but nobody's actually doing anything on these sites to actually be productive and to change something in the real world. So we really wanted to be the first social network with a true purpose for people to go on and share ideas, and to have other people get involved in those ideas and essentially change the world around them in ways that they see positive.
That is fascinating, because one of my familiar refrains, I guess you would say, in all of social networking is that for a group to stay together and stay active, you have to have a common purpose. You have to have a job that you're working on together, you know, or a project. And it sounds to me as if you're actually providing that. So I think that's very psychologically sound.
Exactly. And as well as we have, instead of having categories, is I realized people don't like to be categorized. If you categorize a person, it's a negative connotation.
Uh-huh.
Is we built districts and areas for people to actually live in. So if you're living in the business district on crowd borders, every crowd board that goes up, you're commenting on, you're advising, and people know you know a lot about business. Maybe I'm a 17-year-old entrepreneur, and I watch the way you comment on things, and you're a seasoned entrepreneur that's done 10 to 15 different businesses, and I can actually learn from your comments on crowd borders and go, oh, okay, this is how to do business. This is how to do a charity, and actually grow as a person within the site.
And so it's a mutual support as well as something with a purpose. And do you have, now, what are your various districts?
We have 20 districts and then 10 specific areas. So we have about 200 at the moment, going from anything from military to causes, business, technology, green, eco-friendly, films, music, dance, comics, games. So we've tried to really build it for even people who have specific likes. For example, you know, music.
Mm-hmm.
People don't always like the same sorts of music. So is I may be, and all from a console, is I can add the districts and areas I like. So is maybe I like music in general, or so I add the district to my console, or maybe I like, you know, a particular type. I like jazz. And that's the only really music I like. So I don't want to see all the music crowd boards. I want to see the jazz crowd boards because that's what I like. But I do like all business. So it allows people to either be specifically selective with what they like or look at it from a broad range and have easy access to get there.
That's fascinating. We've got some more specific questions about your about the board and crowd borders, and we'll get into those in the next segment.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show, where we are discussing crowdborders.com with the CEO, Danny Kelman. And this is a new and innovative approach to crowdfunding, the whole idea being that to make it a real social network where people can communicate and learn from others that are interested in investing or seeking investors. And crowd board, similar to a bulletin board, anybody can go there and read what's on it, pass notes to each other, etc. So, Danny, what in respect to becoming a member or having a crowd board on your site, do prospective clients sign up? What's the procedure?
Well, this is the way I looked at it. Is every site you go to, you know, asks you what you are. Are you an investor? Do you have an idea? What do you like? And I feel like as a person is, you may be both. You may not be sure yet. So it's just to log in to Crowdborders. You can log in with any social network, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, or just create a username and log in. And the second you log in, you have a choice. You can either browse Crowdboards and see things you'd like to invest in or donate to, or you'll see right there at the bottom of your console is create a Crowdboard. So you can literally log in and within 2 minutes create a crowd board and get working on it and draft it up, show it to your friends, have their input, and then send it live.
I just want to make real sure about this one thing. Okay. If I were to go to Crowdboard, you said I could sign in with Twitter, Facebook, or some social network. So that's what I call a third party. Okay. But could I avoid signing in with a social network and just, yes?
Yes. Yeah, I just wanted to make it easy for people.
That's great.
And if it was the first time they were seeing it, is because you, the second you log in with Facebook, it makes you create an account on there. So is you'll have your own CrowdBoarder username. I just wanted to make it quick and easy for people that, you know, maybe you just want to go and check it out for and then come back later, just as a quick way to get in. Because a lot of sites you go to, it has you, it takes you 10 minutes to sign up, you know, and I didn't really see any benefit from that, you know.
No, I understand that. But the one thing that we're really interested in, too, are sites that just let you deal with them, where you don't have to deal with Facebook, where, you know, like, in other words, I could just sign up with you guys and Facebook wouldn't have anything to do with it or any other social network. And you have that too, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Cool. Very good, man.
Social network.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
I have a question on how CrowdBoarders differ from others such as Kickstarter. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I actually have a whole thing that I can send you which shows all the differences, because there's about 17 in all. But some of the major ones is if you have a business, you can't raise money on Kickstarter. You just can't, you know. Is they only do set projects. So also as well, if you have a charity, you can't raise money on Kickstarter. They only do set projects.
Okay. Well, we can post, and if that's on online, we can post a link to those differences if you'd like.
I can do that for you. And then as well is we actually don't charge. The way that they work at the moment is I call them glorified advertising agencies from the 1960s, because essentially is they advertise opportunities and take 5% of spend, which is exactly the business model that all the advertisers had, advertising agencies, which really wasn't an online-based model. So it's when we were looking at, you know, online-based models and how they went, what things went from offline to online, we really took ticketing, because ticketing was like a massive change. And they always found that the best way to do ticketing and to charge for ticketing was not to charge the people who were doing the concert. You wouldn't charge the Rolling Stones 5% of whatever concert ticket sales they got to do a concert, is to charge on the other end, which is processing fees for the people that are donating money. And for charities and causes, is people really like this because it separates the prices. It will go, oh, okay, you're donating $20 to charity and paying this much in fees. So they know exactly how much they're giving to it, instead of donating $500 and not knowing exactly how much of that is going to the cause that they put it forward for. And then in turn, on the for the entrepreneur or the charity, they don't get charged a penny for anything.
Well, that is a very important point, and I probably should have mentioned that really early on, because this is what is so significant about CrowdBoarders is that for the cause or the business seeking to and develop revenue, not revenue, but investment, you know, get some startup money or whatever, that this is not going to cost them, but the investor is informed ahead of time, if they're investing X number of dollars, that they are going to be out of that a certain amount of fees.
Yes, correct. And we separate them, as I've always found the best way to do business is to be open and honest. So it says your investment is this much, your CrowdBoarders fees are this much. So we just want to be upfront with that, with everybody, and we've always found that's the best way to do business.
That's excellent, Danny. And so, for example, what kind of traction are you getting now? I think you're relatively new, but you can expound on that. But, for example, if someone was to set up a board, how many people are typically looking at that might want to donate or invest? Can you just give me a somewhat of an example?
Well, this is what's really cool is we're actually setting up our first crowd boards ready to go right now. And we have some, I mean, normally when you start a company like this is you have to, you know, really pull teeth to get the first few through. We've been very, very lucky because the first crowd board that we're going to be launching with is actually, I mean, it's a great cause. It's going to be a fundraiser for the National Guards Museum in London, which are the Redcoat Guards. And they're raising money for a World War I memorial. for the 100-year anniversary, which is this year. It started in 1914. So they're raising £250,000 to finish off this memorial, and they're actually going to put this outside Buckingham Palace. So anybody that gets involved can be on, you know, an honors list that's going to pretty much go down in history, and that's going to be our very first crowd ball, which is going to be a massively high-profile campaign for us. And also as well, the royal family of Great Britain's going to be there, so that's another cool thing. So it's lining up, you know, these very high-profile crowd boards and bringing people into it together is really our marketing strategy at the moment.
Well, you brought up something interesting on your website on the material I read about you, your company, and that is that a lot of times, traditionally, the crowd that people had was really their followers. But in crowd boarders, you have a crowd of people who are interested in investing that are not necessarily members of the network of the person with the startup, correct?
Correct, yeah. Is let's say, for example, if you had a tech business, you could join the tech district and you could start to network with people on there that are interested in investing in tech. And then you can go onto somebody's profile. You can see what sort of things they've currently got involved in, what sort of things they're doing, also how much they're investing for certain things. So is you can go and drop a message and go, hey, I see you donated $100 to this for this. What do you think about my idea? Can you give me some feedback? Oh, okay, could you at least give me a comment? Or, you know, it just allows people to network through it the same way they're pretty much telling people to do it on other networks, but it actually allows you to have, you know, some sort of targeting and to know something about the people you're getting in contact with in this area, which is, you know, crowd boarders and how much crowd boarding they've been doing, how many crowd boards they're involved in and how much they've been putting into them.
Now, it's not, these folks, many are investors, of course, not just making contributions or donations. So what is the rate of return? That does that vary according to the crowd board, or is that something you have to figure out ahead of time?
Yeah, is that we really wanted to be, I didn't want to put any limits on crowd boards. Is I wanted to really give people a place where they could go on there, they could create it, they could put their own terms, and then they'll learn as the site evolves and as this, you know, method of social interaction evolves, is it will get better where people will know, oh, okay, these are the terms you normally offer in this space, or these are the terms that this district likes. You know, so really, is without the interaction, is you kind of shooting in the dark, trying to say, oh, this is the terms, and because we don't know, because it's based on each individual person. So once the people are there, and once they are getting involved in things, is people will be able to pick up on the trends, which is, you know, really exciting for us, and go, oh, okay, this district or this area particularly likes these sort of things, and then they also know, you know, where to go at, you know, is which, how much can they raise in that area? You know, what's the average raise and things like that. Is it gives people, you know, some market information before they build a crowd board.
Well, Danny, thank you. We understand. So your website is crowdboard. Will you just say that for everyone, please?
Crowdboarders.com.
Okay. And also what I was going to say is, as you probably already know, we have over 500 social networks scrolling across the top of the socialnetworkstation.com. We're going to put Crowdboarders up there and a link to your site. And we're very glad that you came on the show, and we want you to come back, I hope.
Yeah, no, definitely. Progresses is I'll shoot you guys emails and let you know what's going on with us, because we have a few more pretty high profile crowd boards being built that are going to be kind of firsts in the industry. So it's kind of cool for us. You know, we haven't really gone in and done what everybody else has done. We're trying to set trends instead of, you know, following them.
Okay, so it sounds excellent to me, and we want to help promote you too. So I see various ways we might be able to help each other.
Yes, thank you so much, Danny. That's Danny Kelman, CEO of Crowd Boarders. That's BOARDERS.com. And thank you to our listeners for listening. We hope you add us to your iTunes or Stitcher.com playlist so you can automatically receive each show with our wonderful guests and important topics. We'd love to hear from you. So please get in touch with us via the contact link on our webpage at thesocialnetworkshow.com. And there you can listen to more interviews and read the latest on our blog. You'll also be able to replay our live show from 5 p.m. Sundays on News Talk 720 KDON, KDWN.com/streamer. We'll get you the live show. And at the foot of our homepage, you will hear the replays of the live show. And you can follow us on Twitter, at Social Net Show. That's Jim, at Social Net Show 2, that's me, as well as hear the show on our website, Stitcher.com or iTunes. And please check out our videos on YouTube, where our channel is simply Social Network Station. Please be safe, online and off. Have fun until we can welcome you here again.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.